Mr. President.
Hello, Henry.
I thought it was outstanding. And I was at dinner at, in fact, I still am there at K. Graham's, but I'm glad I can talk. And the Indian ambassador was there, and a very well-known British publisher, in fact, my publisher, Sir George Nicholson.
What paper is that?
I beg your pardon?
What paper is he with?
Not a paper, it's a very large publisher.
Oh, yeah, the book, I understand.
Book publisher, but who runs a big salon in London, and very influential. Sir George Weidenfeld is publishing out his...
Right, that's all right, sorry.
And Atlee Stevenson III. And the reaction is absolutely enthusiastic here. Outstanding. Very good. I thought you handled it with very, very great delicacy. The question of residual force, the question of withdrawals.
Well, we didn't give a goddamn thing away, you know.
You not give it away.
I was pretty tough.
But you handled it with really extraordinary delicacy. And to stand up to that for an hour, I thought you handled China beautifully.
Well, China, we've got... I know I'd handle that well, but, you know, kidding Deadman a little and say, look, this is not the time to discuss the other things, but we're ready step by step, you know.
I thought you handled Vietnam with really enormous delicacy. I was just now... assisted by the Indian ambassador, strangely enough, beating up Adlai Stevenson on the terminal day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The poor bastard, he didn't know what to do, does he?
Oh, no. The Indian ambassador is hitting him from one side and I'm hitting him from the other. And the consensus here is, we have one minor technical problem, Mr. President. You kept mentioning November 1st. Actually, you had announced it for December 1st.
How out there?
And if you don't mind, we would like to make clear that what you announced is the date that stands, the one you announced last week.
November 15th rather than October 15th,
no,
that's
because
right.
Otherwise we'll have an uproar in Saigon.
That's right.
And this is just a minor technical.
I know, but I said November 1st. I meant December 1st and November 15th, right.
Right, and it isn't going to create any problem.
No problem.
But I thought that China was beautifully handled. I thought you were very wise, and it was tremendously effective that you turned that first question into a little speech on peace.
What was the first question about, Jeremy? Oh, yeah, about what do you wake up about? Oh, it's a silly question, but...
Well, it was a silly question and therefore hard to answer, but it was important that you had a chance to state the...
But I sleep, I dream about peace all night. I know, all that crap.
Put everything else into a good framework, and you got a good hand. I don't know whether you got any comments afterwards, but here, really...
Well, we got across several points. You know, I wouldn't let them drive me off of Agnew or Hoover. Now, both of them are, frankly, people that are not my kind of people. But I had to defend them, and I think the people expect me to. Don't you think so?
Fine way.
What do you think? Don't you think it was worked all right? With Hoover, I said, look, you're not going to help by he's not never going to get out where you attack him.
That's right.
I think that was good to say, don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I thought that calling attention to his great public service.
For 50 years.
No, I went around the table and everybody, there's another Democrat here, David Ginsburg, I don't know what you know.
Oh, Dave Ginsburg?
Yeah.
You mean the farmer head of the OPA?
I guess.
Yeah, a lawyer?
Lawyer, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you tell him that he was my boss. He'll love this. You want to go back to the table?
Yeah.
Tell him that he was my boss. He, David Ginsburg, and Harris was my immediate boss, but David Ginsburg was the man that recruited me to go in the OPA 30 years ago, David Ginsburg recruited me through David Cavers. Mentioned Cavers. Cavers is now at Harvard.
Yeah, I remember Cavers.
But because I was at the top of my class at Duke, there was no because of me, because I was, fairly good student.
It was outstanding.
Huh?
He thought it...
How did Ginsburg feel?
That's the one that he said it was absolutely outstanding. He said,
well, it wasn't really that good. The point is, the questions weren't all that good, and they were a little stupid, some of them.
President, you had a tough road to hoe there.
I had to avoid a few things, but Ginsburg felt all right. You tell him that I remember that he recruited me. He was the man that recruited me to go into the OPA in 1942, and he'll love that. He'll love hearing it. Will you tell him that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that one day you bring him in, and you have him for lunch, and you bring him in, say hello to him, okay?
Absolutely.
See, he was the head of OPA, man.
Right, another one who was there is Kermit Gordon, the former director of the budget.
Oh, how was he?
He liked it too. He was snacking a little bit on that figure of 28 billion.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. 28 billion people. What the hell? I didn't say that that's the end of all. I said look at the numbers with regard to retail sales, with regard to automobile, with regard to housing. So we're
Ellis Longworth is here, and she's, of course, praising you to the skies. But the reaction was really very, very interesting. Very favorable, and I must say I was tremendously impressed by the delicacy with which you handled the foreign policy questions, because this was a tough moment.
Well, the main thing was not to give anything. I don't think we gave a goddamn thing away.
We
didn't give anything away on frankly, Henry, as you know, I didn't give a thing away on Vietnam. I didn't give a thing away on China. You know, like China, I said, well, no, I'm not going to talk about that.
That was beautiful.
I said, no, this is not the time to talk about it.
That was beautiful.
But you see, with the way the China thing now sits, is that we haven't said a thing. And also, in the way the...
They haven't raised any expectations.
Yeah.
All of the expectations have been raised by the...
Where I said, in effect, as far as we're concerned, we're ready to trade, we're ready to exchange. But as far as recognition and all these technical problems, the other problems, we ain't going to talk about them right now. I think that's good. Now, we're getting a hell of a blast from the Washington Post, New York Times. Why don't we say we're going to recognize Red China? Screw them. Don't you agree?
And they didn't get you to this point in your China policy. You did more in 2 years than they...
Oh, this drives them nuts, Henry. This drives them nuts.
That's what...
I really think we've done on China. And Dedman, who was a decent, honest, liberal Democrat.
Yeah, I
met
him, yes.
You notice how I played him up so good.
You played him beautifully.
Yeah.
In fact, you played off... You mentioned that you were playing off one of his questions.
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought it was an outstanding thing.
Well, you never know. The questions always determine it. But we got a few points across.
Well, but... The questions were not very good.
No, they were pretty stupid.
And poor Otis was fumbling around. But
I know, but we did well by him.
But you did.
When I talked about the young people, I think that was not bad, you know, to talk about the fact that I dreamed of those kids and I wanted them to believe in this country, you know, that was not bad, Henry.
You were doing him also a favor for his family, because that's what his son needed to hear. Because he's got a lot of trouble with the son he has at Yale.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. But what do you think of that kid, that answer about the family? Wasn't that good?
That was very...
I didn't think it was too bad. It wasn't the best. But the idea that, well, look, we're ending the war. We're doing this. We're proving the system will work. Now, kids, come aboard. Let's get going, huh?
And focus on things we can do rather than on
things.
And let's make this thing work. I thought it was very effective.
Okay. Well, Henry, have a good time.